Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We alter your local Ceruleus by warming your senses to rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flow of status out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yeah.
Can you feel it?
Yes,
can you feel my? Can you feel a V?
A little bit harder.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no gov license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Square. Yeah. Do the kids say square anymore? You kids, or is it square to say square?
I thought we were trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
I want to bring it back. Yeah.
That's the game plan. Bring it back.
Yep. Bring it back. So, I'm Michael Dean. We got James Weeks, the second, who's better known as the fat guy who got naked on national television. That's how like probably 10 million people in America refer to him. And we got V, also known as Valashka. I was saying Valeshka.
And Pleiadian protege.
More importantly. It's Valashka, which rhymes with, I'm going to remember, it rhymes with slosh. Posh and mosh.
Fiend Fong.
Here we go.
There you go.
Hey, Missy, you here? Please be here. Nope.
Be here.
Oh, she's buffering. I hear her buffering. Nope. She left. Damn. Okay. Who wants to donate a laptop computer that's got Windows and at least 4 gigs of RAM and either Windows 7, Windows 10, or Vista? So that girl can get back on the radio. Let me know, because she ain't working. Because she's a Mac person. She's one of the beautiful people, and her PC doesn't like her. So if you want to hear Diana on the radio, write to me at BIPCOIN, that's Bravo India Papa Coin, at gmail.com. And I'll tell you where to ship the computer. And so, James, that noise is back. What? Sorry.
I said, please donate.
Yeah, hashtag please donate.
Hashtag
so
donate.
Yeah, the picture on the show tonight is going to be a picture of V with a with something on him. Yeah, with a mask. No, you have face bondage. What's it say?
Wait, is that the sticker? It's the sticker one, right?
Yeah, I'm using the sticker one.
The one that says bad audio is a hate crime, because it is.
Yep, and James is proving that right now by having hum. So if you want to donate two laptops...
Give us all your laptops.
Give us all your laptops. All your laptops belong to us.
Right.
So tonight's show is going to be called... what did I say it's going to be called? Oh, yeah, somebody's not funny.
Schulman. Mm.
Schulman doesn't like us. That's the only thing you remember from the show notes. No, Lenny Bruce is not funny, because Lenny Bruce is a comedian that all the comedians I like, you know, Louis C.K. and Louis C.K.
Mitch Hedberg.
No, everybody. Mitch Hedberg. Everybody. Everybody is everybody that's great now is standing on the shoulder of giants who are standing on the shoulders of Lenny Bruce. He's considered like the source for rude, weird, political, slightly political, you know, socially aware comedy that's still funny. He's not funny, though, man. And the other day I said that, when I was talking to Phil, I said that on here, I said I didn't like the great movies that you're supposed to love, like Casablanca and the one with, what's the one with the sled? Rosebud. What's that one, DJ?
What?
Citizen Kane. Yeah, I don't like those movies. I like some kind of highbrow weird movies, but I just don't like those movies that are supposed to be the greatest movies ever made. And I also don't like Lenny Bruce. He wasn't funny when people thought he was funny, and then later he became unfunny after he'd been jailed a bunch of times, and he just went on stage and like read his police reports for obscenity. Also, he was... And so that's got nothing to do with the... in a... you know, having a sticker on her face that says bad audio is a hate crime, but I just thought it worked. Because it's funny. Because it's funnier than Lenny Bruce.
No relation.
It's no relation. Yeah, so I thought it was pretty funny. But Lenny Bruce was posthumously pardoned by Governor Pataki of New York. That's about the most kitty butt. I was going to say P.A. Kitty butt the shiitake, Governor Pitake mushroom.
Governor Shiitake.
Yeah, it's like the least skin in the game thing an elected politician can do is to like posthumously pardon somebody who died 35 years ago. That's just, man, that's just appealing to the masses. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Yeah. No comment.
Yeah, that's
no comment.
It does seem kind of silly to just do that.
Yeah, I agree. So I was going to tell the three jokes that my brother told me when I was a kid, and I promised that I was going to tell a flat earth joke because you guys have experienced this now. Like, flat earthers are a thing again.
They came back. I want to talk about that. Where did that come from?
Well,
I've been trying to figure. I thought it was a giant, just people trolling me at first.
It's a conspiracy. It's not. It was started by the CIA.
Recently? I mean, it's been the theory well, yeah. forever. I mean, yeah, thousands of years
ago. It's coming back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's coming back, and it's coming back. It seems to be pretty common in Liberty, which really makes libertarians look bad, I think.
Yeah.
It might be the CIA making fake accounts on Facebook of people who, you know, love liberty and love the flat earth idea.
See, I thought that until I met one in real life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
Name him.
I mean, I don't really want to name her.
I want you to name her.
Well, Dave hopped
look, is she
though.
Is she public about it? Is she deny it?
No, it's a friend of mine's mother, so I don't want
oh,
to.
Oh, then don't.
Yeah.
Okay, then never mind. Never mind.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
So until I got into a discussion with her about it, I honestly thought that this was just a giant troll operation, that it was all fake accounts on the line saying that Flat Earth is real. And then I'm talking, and so I'm hearing about this in real life now. And it blew my mind that people actually still believe that in this day and age, that the earth is flat, that we, you know, that not only that, but, you know, the stuff about like how far the sun is away and how the sun doesn't actually set and it just like rotates around the top of a flat earth. And
these people
like
are
that.
Also, these like, people are also people that would like slay you in writing if you, you know, if you were a Christian who believed that the earth is only 6,000 years old, which is just as ridiculous of an idea, I would say. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. Those are, I don't
yeah,
know which
one's
more.
Yeah, there seems to be a correlation there.
Well,
I don't know what's more
both,
ridiculous. Is
they're both
is
going six... back to the Stone Age, really, is what it is. They're
well,
both going
yeah.
back to, I mean, Christianity. The idea that the earth is 6,000 years old predates Christianity. 6,000 years ago, people thought the earth wasn't... No one ever thought it was millions of years ago until probably, you know, 400 or 500 years ago that theory began. And, you know, a couple hundred years ago or less, probably a little more, it was proven. But, yeah, man, it's weird. It's weird that it's a thing. I don't get it.
Like I said, I think that it's the modern day movement of it has been... It was started by, like, some sort of government agency... And then people who actually believe it that we meet in real life, like, they've just hopped on that bandwagon. But I think it was initially started by, like, a government agency to try to make us look bad. I really do.
Well, I remember reading an article a long time ago about a study that, like, the CIA did or something about conspiracy theories. You know, one of those government agencies
well,
did a study on conspiracy
the
theories.
The United States CIA created the term conspiracy theory.
Well, that's what this was, though.
It was actually, I'm pretty sure it was created in the Warren Commission report that came out after JFK was killed. It was basically, I believe that JFK was probably killed by someone with connection to the government. I really think that there were a lot of people with reasons to kill him, basically because he wanted to scale down the military-industrial complex, and, you know, the military-industrial complex didn't want to be scaled down. I think that was
you
it.
Too much.
Pure and simple.
Well, I thought we were making fun of conspiracy theories. Now we're getting into them.
Not all of them.
I'm saying where the term came from.
There's the good ones, and there's the bad ones.
Have been around forever, but that term, I believe, is in the first used in the Warren Report and was created by the government to describe theories like oh, the government killed JFK.
Oh, yeah, because no one wanted to believe someone would just kill JFK, so everyone came up with a bunch of conspiracy theories about it. I remember, and they did come up with, you're right about them coming up with a term. But well, I was talking about something a little bit more recently.
I've also heard the term, though, let me wormhole for a second here. Mm-hmm. I've also heard the theory from kind of like some patriot-type rifle strokers, you know, who think that they're going to fight American Revolution, but like not the ones who are the idiots that run around in camo and aren't very good at it, but like, you know, some badass people who aren't on the internet that actually can hit a dinner plate at 700 yards with a deer rifle. You know, the people that probably could fight an American Revolution too. Their theory is that the guy who shot JFK was acting alone, and that the government created all the conspiracy theories because they didn't want to plant the idea and have it common in everyone's mind that one guy with a rifle could do that to the country.
That actually, that's a good conspiracy theory right there.
You don't hear much.
No, that's basically a ripoff of that South Park episode about 9/11 conspiracy theories, though.
Is that, I was just going to say, I think these same people say the same thing about 9/11, you know, that it's not a conspiracy, that it really is, that it's, you know, like a lot of smart people say, that it's blowback from what the U.S. has done in the Middle East for 100 years, but that it also really was like a small group of people, you know, the people on the plane and then, you know, 10 or 12 people that planned it and that's it. And they don't want people believing that 10 or, you know, 20 people could do that too. Because it might encourage people, basically, is the idea. Same thing with the rifleman idea.
That story doesn't really line up. Anyway, we won't get into that.
All right, so, what, James, you had something to say?
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a wormhole to go into. I haven't even told the three non-funny jokes from the 70s that I...
Well, yeah, I wanted to... We could wormhole around, but the thing is that there was something the article put out that they were putting out fake conspiracy theories as part of a study. And that could be where the flat earth thing all of a sudden, because it was after that, that all of a sudden I started noticing the growth of the flat earth.
Yeah. Hey, did Facebook have something to do with, because remember Facebook was like doing things to people to see how they'd react, and they were caught doing it. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't remember what they were doing, but it was something really sinister.
Yeah.
With, I know. I hear it. Yeah. I still got time to wrap up.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Facebook.
Always Facebook.
Allegedly. So, read the title in the first sentence, first part of this article.
You want me to read the headline?
Yeah, and then the first two paragraphs.
Facebook apologizes for psychological experiments on its users.
I knew it.
Always. So apparently they conducted secret psychological tests on nearly 700,000 users in 2012.
Isn't that
You're not
something?
Reading it. You're really not reading it. I should read it.
Oh, you want me to read the
I
whole thing?
I should read it. I should read the first two paragraphs.
Facebook's second most powerful executive, Sheryl Sandberg, has apologized for the conduct of secret psychological tests on nearly 700,000 users in 2012, which prompted outrage from users and experts alike. The experiment, revealed by a scientific paper published in the March issue of Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, hid a small percentage of emotional words from people's news feeds without their knowledge to test what effect they had on statuses or likes that they then posted or reacted to. It was part of the research companies do to test different products.
Interesting. Okay, so this is interesting. I'm looking at, so you know this site, Know Your Meme? Great site, knowyourmeme.com.
Yes.
I'm searching Flat Earth on here, and I thought of looking on here because this site actually has graphs of like what year and month certain terms started taking off on the internet. Flat Earth was flat and almost not mentioned until August of 2014. And then it shot up to it's now. It's like bigger than ever. And so it sounds like this is around the time that Facebook started doing this. Maybe we should call the episode Facebook Invented the Flat Earth. How could you say it short? Like the current popularity growth of how about just Facebook invented flat earthers allegedly? Does that work for you guys?
Allegedly. That works. James? Let's do it.
That works, but I'm trying to pull up my pocket. There we go.
Allegedly.
Your pocket what? You can't say that on radio. All right, cool. Allegedly. Thank you. Yep. We still got to get V to record some of those. We got to think of some. You got to think your own, and then also we'll record a few of the other ones that people are doing. So, I want to tell the non-funny jokes that my brother told me in the 70s because I want to end. But one
this is
a
just
flat,
a joke. Seriously, one is a just a joke.
One of them's a flat Earth joke. So,
may cause triggering.
Okay, perfect. Stop for a minute. So here's the joke, and this is my brother told me this in 1970. Three when I was nine, and I didn't actually get it. He had to explain it to me. But so the four ships that Columbus sailed were the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the Santa Fe, right?
No.
No? What do you mean?
What was Santa Fe was one of them? I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, that's the one that sailed off the edge, so you never heard of it.
Oh.
That's a joke from the 1970s.
He just ruined it.
No, I, what? Because she didn't get it? Who ruined it? It was told correctly. You laughed. It's not ruined.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm not laughing.
Right. He's not laughing.
Let's try it again. Let's try it again. Like a little snappier. Like
you're not smoking too much weed.
Okay. Hey, so what were the four ships that Columbus sailed? It was the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and Santa Fe, right?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Oh, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
I don't know how this works.
Liberty, you're doing it wrong. I don't know how jokes worked in the 70s because they're not funny. Yeah, so here's the other to show you how jokes worked in the 70s. See, everything of humanity's intelligence and creativity stands on the shoulders of giants. In the 60s, Lenny Bruce, the father of modern comedy, was not funny at all. By 1979 or 1973, my brother was telling me jokes that weren't fun, a little funnier, but not funny. And then, you know, eventually we get funny comedy. Who knows where it'll be in 10 years? You'll take a pill and just die laughing. Oh, I think it's called ecstasy. But the other two jokes he told me were why is there a fence around a cemetery?
Zombies.
Because people are just dying to get in. These are all like jokes.
It's only funny when James starts laughing because his laugh is contagious.
Well, I have a laugh track. It's a laugh track on Pocket Alibi I buy. But my point is showing that jokes weren't very funny in the 70s. So it's okay if you don't laugh a lot. But James will laugh at anything, as our critic, Janie S. Woman, pretending to be someone else that we'll get to later, said. So here's the other joke. Okay, guy calls up the Salvation Army. Do you help save people? And they say, yes. Do you save bad women? We help save anyone. Well, save me one for Saturday night.
Nice.
That's a 70s joke. Yep.
James didn't like it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. and make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yep, don't. However, do it. Actually, Ben Stone does that one. Here's Ben Stone. Don't feed the drugs. Hey, you can like sort of like do scratching.
Never actually do this.
Always stroke head to.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about wormholes. Oh, Diana. Hey, Board Op. Diana may Skype in. So look for her Skype request. You know her name on Skype. So, and it's not what you think it is. All right. So,
Dun dun dun.
So we're talking about conspiracy theories and bad jokes from the 70s. And I don't know. I got kind of like thrown off here because I'm dealing with tech problems of other hosts trying to get on. See, that's the thing about doing a show is you have to get so good at doing it that you can do everything, including, you know, deal with somebody's tech. You could do tech support while doing a show, but we're trying to get her on. All right. So teaching kids to trust the police is child abuse. That's the name of an article. It's an article by Will Grigg, who I like a lot, who lives nearby me.
Strangers.
In Idaho. Yeah, I like that. I want to just, I really don't even want to like read the article and discuss it. I just wanted to get that read into the Fiend's congressional record that teaching kids to trust the police is child abuse, and that I agree with that. Who was it who read that? One of you read that article, right? Did you read that?
I had seen it posted on Facebook previously. I think it might have been posted in the Liberate RVA group or something, but yeah.
Do you agree that teaching kids to trust the police is child abuse?
Of course I do.
I mean, you do, but the people listening on the radio don't.
You shouldn't teach kids. If you're going to teach them not to trust strangers, not to talk to strangers, then that should be across the board. Not to trust strangers. Not pluck them. I mean, I guess you probably shouldn't do that either.
Don't harvest your fellow humans.
Don't violate strangers.
Yeah. Well, cops violate kids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But sometimes. I mean, even if you were to support cops, like, you never know if that could be somebody who is impersonating. So, I mean,
There was somebody in Wyoming, like 5 or 6 years ago that was, that got like one of those, you know, clip on little red flashing light that goes on your windshield that like undercover cops use, you know, it doesn't have the big bar mounted. It's just, you know, you put it up with suction cups when you need it. Mm-hmm. And they had like a siren that, you know, one of those like they had the speakers in their front grill, like CB truckers used to have sometimes where they could yell at you and say, "Hey, baby, nice cans," you know, it happened to me all the time driving around when I was younger. But, and you too, James, I'm sure. So, but you know, they were like in rural Wyoming, which is really rural. I mean, this state is, you know, bigger than New England and has like 500,000 people in it. And they were pulling over women and raping them. You know, they're pretending to be a cop. Not to mention cops pull over women and rape them sometimes. But
I think I heard about that. But yeah,
Really makes the news as big a deal as when it's someone impersonating a cop.
I know.
This when was cops actually do
you
something.
You have heard of this. You have heard of this, D, because it was national news.
Yeah.
And, you know, you only hear about the cops that actually rape people in your Facebook feed.
Yeah, local news, maybe.
Yeah.
You might have a local press, a local, you know, a local town patch newspaper thing cover the you know, when it's an actual cop, but when it, you know, when it's not a cop, it's national news.
They always use the one bad apples phrase, which is really
funny. And I love that part.
Because why is that funny, James?
Because they forget what that actually is about.
Yeah. What's it mean, James?
Is one bad apple spoils the bunch. That's what the phrase is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when you have one bad apple.
If you have an apple that has, you know, some kind of like bacteria or worm in it, it quickly spreads to the whole, destroys the whole barrel. So it's pretty bizarre, though, that they pretty much universally say, well, you know, they give a press conference, the police information officer goes on the local news and says, well, this was just one isolated case, just one bad apple, and we're dealing with him sternly, which means either, you know, paid vacation, mass duty, or, you know, firing, but quits and keeps his pension usually. Although there's a cop that is being arrested for murder a year after he shot and killed somebody, or for homicide, for manslaughter. Did you hear about this? I remember when this is in the news, for accidentally shooting some librarian. It was like a come meet your local police. And, you know, 20 people from the neighborhood came to meet the local police because they're so wonderful. And he was doing a demonstration in the room with a loaded gun and accidentally shot and killed a librarian. And for like a year, we talked about this on the show, you know, when there was a whole different set of hosts. Because, you know, I can't keep the same hosts around, according to Janiel Shulman. We'll talk about that later.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but, that cop's got arrested, you know, booked recently and is out on bail. Here's my theory. He's not going to get convicted because I think it's just a show trial. They don't really, like, send
a
cop to prison.
Guarantee.
Yeah, they don't send a cop to prison unless he, like, you know, rapes a bunch of kids and films it and puts it on the internet. And
I don't even think they'd really do that then.
Always. Yeah, not always.
Like, they'll maybe give him a slap on the wrist.
Literally. Which, you know, is assault, and cops will shoot you if you slap them on the wrist.
Right.
But that's
don't slap cops on the wrist, apparently.
I'll say one thing. I will never accidentally shoot somebody. That's not in my future. I have such good gun safety.
Yeah.
Part of how I practice gun safety is when I hold anything that resembles a gun in any way, like a blow dryer or a power drill, I have my finger along the side of it, like not on
the
trigger until
I'm
ready to use it. Really?
I was noticing that. It was like a couple of years ago, I think. I was holding something. It might have been like a reciprocating saw or something like that. And I realized as I was holding it, like, and I wasn't using it, I was like, I'm keeping my finger off the trigger. Like, I was just like automatically,
means,
like it's a gun.
That means
you know?
That you'll never shoot anybody by accident.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is that if something is a hobby for you and if you're actually an enthusiast, you're more likely to take it seriously than somebody who it's part of your job. So cops don't normally get that much training as far as firing the weapon goes.
Hey, Daniel, board up. Jump in my ear if you can hear me. Like God. Hey, yeah. Did you get, there's a request there on Skype for Diana. Just patch her in. Sound check her on the fly. It'll be great. Wonderful. Do it. It'll be huge.
Huge.
Yeah. You know, I actually recommend
huge. That. We're going to do it bigly.
I actually recommend that thing about the finger on off the trigger with non-gun type things in my movie, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz. You know, one of these days I'm going to make a Volume 2, but should make it with V because she's cute and more people
would
buy
it. Let's do
it. Jared Waltz is cute, but... we can actually
do it. I've only got like 1 year left of being cute, and after that, I'm probably going to go downhill pretty quick.
Is that what I told you? Did I tell you that?
What?
Did I tell you that?
I think that's how that works.
It is how it works. How old are you? 29?
What? We don't talk about that.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Well, I said 5 years, but I thought you were 21 or 22.
Right. So I'm already past my prime.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. All right, so.
Wait a second.
Hey, Diana, turn her up. She's too quiet.
Oops.
Board up. Daniel, turn her up. Talk, Diana.
Talking.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Quiet. Is she a little quiet? I don't know. Daniel would know. I can hear you. Okay. What's up?
Hey. Oh, my God.
Hey. Oh, that audio is not very good. Daniel, give her a little more high end and a little less distortion, please. Yeah. All right. This is live radio.
No, yeah, live
it
radio.
Is live radio.
Yeah, so I'm just going to keep going with my thought and Diana can just jump in. Oh, that sounds bad. Daniel, I think that sounds bad. Daniel, I hate to say it, but I think she's going to have to go get Windows 7 downgrade, and we got to dump her. It's just too bad audio.
Well, that's a good thing, though. Windows 7 is the best. Out of all the Windows operating systems, except for XP.
She just never call in. Daniel, give her the phone number and let her call in. All right. So, all right, do it. So, please. All right, where were we? What were we talking about? Police like to touch kids?
Is
that
it?
Something like that.
And shoot dogs.
And shoot dogs.
They do that. So they're actually trained to do that right off the bat. That's part of their training, is shoot the dog.
I did see a video the other day where a cop actually, you know, was patient and actually tricked the dogs into getting the back of his cruiser, but that rarely happens, you know?
No, they're trained to just shoot the dog. Which is funny because mailmen don't shoot the dog. Pizza delivery guys don't shoot the dog. Meter readers don't shoot the dog.
Oh.
You know, everyone doesn't shoot the dog but cops.
Mailmen have mace, but they rarely use it on the dogs because mailmen don't have the aggressive stance coming to a house that police always have. Like, you know, dogs can sense your intent, and police go to a house. You know, I mean, you could say, well, they go to the house expecting anything, which is how they say it. You know, so they have to be prepared to shoot all the time. But
no, they go to the house wanting to shoot. They have that action movie theme kick on in their head, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm in a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and Tom Cruise movie or whatever. They got the dun dun kind of music going on in their head. they're running in thinking they're gonna save the day and get the girl. That's what they're doing.
I know you're not in there with a plant sitting peacefully. You better not be.
Yeah. They're gonna get to rape the girl.
Yeah.
Man, that's just not good.
Oh, wait. I shouldn't have laughed at that. Anyway.
All right. So I was going to welcome a new station, but I don't know if I should until we go on to a happier subject, because I don't want them saying they were talking about that police were bad and rape children and girls. And then they said a shout out to welcome our station.
You know, the worst thing about that is that, you know, you look at these cops and like, you look at just their personal relationships, and they're like fourfold more likely to be an abusive spouse than, you know, the general population.
What's with that?
You know, weird how such a violent job would attract violent people, though.
Yeah. The apologists also say things like, well, you know, that's just one bad apple, and it's also there's so much pressure they have to deal with, you know.
Because that makes an excuse to deal beat your wife.
With kicking in doors of nonviolent people who've never harmed anybody to beat them up and rape them and take their drugs.
Yeah.
All right, so I'd like to welcome radio station KZLS, 1640 AM in Oklahoma, who were brave enough to add the Freedom Fiends, and I hope it's a long and beautiful relationship, because that's the biggest metropolitan area we're on for at least this one show, at least this one segment. No, I think it's really cool. I'm really happy that KZLS has added us in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Rock and roll. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Kazizzles. KZLS. They're cool. I like them.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Lulberts podcast. Lulberts, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Lulberts, is from Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Lulberts. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
We sent you, and good luck. You're going to need it. All right, this is the Freedom Teens.
Freedom Teens tech support line. So,
you know, Jim, there's a bunch of fiend stuff that you guys don't know about yet, but James, do you know about the Maserati repair and fly fishing show?
No.
Okay, so it's a running joke that Lou and I have about how, like, you know, I was telling why we're on radio, and one reason is, like, everything we just said about cops, if we said that on Facebook, all of our friends would be like, duh, you know, and like barely even click like on it. Mm-hmm. But people listening on radio have never heard that freaking concept. They think anybody who doesn't like the police is horrible and should be thrown in prison, and they don't realize that, okay, let me put it in terms that the average radio listener could understand. After Trump, there's going to be a Democrat who's going to fight back against liberty as hard in the same way that Trump is fighting the other way in liberty. So basically what that means is the next president is going to be a Democrat who's going to issue an executive order the first day to rescind the Second Amendment. I predict that. And you know who's going to enforce that? Your police. Your police chief that says he loves the Second Amendment is going to send men to your house to take your gun, and if you refuse, they're going to murder you. And if you think, oh, well, I'll have the second, well, you know, the third American Revolution, like, if you have this gun battle, like, you know, Lexington Concord pictured in your mind, no, you're vastly outgunned. They have a tank that they can inject tear gas into your house through, you know, through a brick wall. So they're going to win.
They have a tank. They have tanks, and they use tanks.
Trust police because they don't respect the Constitution.
They use tanks,
Constitution,
too. They use them.
They'll use them. They use them on nonviolent offenders, too. Huh. And your local police department probably has, it's called a Bearcat. It's a tank for police. It's got wheels, but it's a tank. And, you know, they have, towns with like 10,000 people have these because the Pentagon gives them away so they can buy new ones so they can keep the, Obama like temporarily turned off that program. And one of the lesser known, Trump executive orders was turning that program back on.
Trump's the one giving tanks to the cops to come take your guns.
There you go. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Trump takes your guns at some point. That sounds like heresy, and he says he won't, but he might.
I actually have a story about this Bearcat thing, because a lot of people may not know this. Not only was I the fat, naked guy that stripped on C-SPAN, but I also ran for sheriff against a cop who has one of those tanks. And I did get to debate the guy, and we talked about this subject. And he actually, in the debate, and you can pull this up, it's still on my Facebook page, James Weeks Libertarian. You can pull up the debate. And in the debate, he actually laughed about killing a veteran with the tank.
Wow.
In the debate, he laughed about it.
What was the story?
It was a veteran with PTSD that was suffering through some problems. And you know, so his family's worried about him. They call the police. The police claimed he took his family hostage or whatever. But they come in and they drive across his lawn with a tank to go kill him. And they laughed about it. The guy laughed about it. He says, well, it was a successful operation. Nobody got killed. Ha ha. Well, except for the guy we killed. Wow. Ha ha ha. And he laughed about it in the debate. This is what the police do. They laugh about killing people with tanks. Veterans with tanks. Now, if you want to...
when people call because there's a family member with mental illness and they call the police, which is the last thing you should do when a family has mental illness, I wouldn't say more often than not, but more and more, the police come and they don't try to talk your suicidal son out of something. They shoot him. You know?
Yeah, you should never call the cops on someone unless you're prepared for them to die. That's the rule of thumb that I always go by. Because, I mean,
or just never call the cops, period.
Ideally, but since we don't have private security, sometimes, you know, you have to.
Stop snitching. Stop snitching, V.
You have to. Give me a quick example. Snitches. Give me an example quick when you need to call the cops, V. I want to know it right now.
If someone is threatening you and it's serious.
Stop snitching.
Stop snitching. I don't even know if you have to call.
Hashtag stop snitching.
The only reason I'd go to the cops is if my house got burglarized, I'd have to walk to the state, go to the station and follow the
after you shot the perpetrator.
The only reason to, though, there is a reason. Stop it's snitching. To for an insurance claim. It's not even a snitch. It's to get the police police report for an insurance claim. That's it. That's it.
Don't Google body disposal.
Yeah, you'll, the police will show up with a tank. Google body disposal.
Google it. Yeah, because they're monitoring you. Words.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Well, I mean, it's possible that I'm your father, V. I mean, my band Bomb did play in Michigan in 1987, opening for Pussy Galore. You ever heard that band? Blew them off stage. Pretty good. So did your mom like to sleep with weird post-punk rock bands?
Probably. The adoption agency told me that she really liked music, so I guess that was code for...
that's like nice.
She
that's
really
like,
liked music.
That's business code for Michael Dean's your dad. Yeah.
Daddy Michael. And,
if you start calling me that, people are really going to think we're a cult. Yeah.
That's not some Stefan Molyneux stuff.
Yeah, I defooed him.
Well,
he was never my family, though. I knew that he was... Okay, who's doing the intro? James.
All right. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza, the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, worms. Freedom Fiends. Uh-huh. Worms.
Worms.
So I'd like to welcome Station Kazizzle, 1640 AM in Oklahoma City. That's K-Z-L-S. We're going to call him Kazillus. Kazillus, I think
Kazillus.
It is. Yep.
Thank you for having us, Kazillus. Thank you for your service.
10,000 watts of tyranny busting power. So if you're there, check them out. Oh, wait. You're already listening to them. You're already checking them out if you're hearing this. All right. So we want to talk about my soul sister, Rachel Dolenz. Isn't she Nikki Dolenz from the band The Monkees? Isn't that her? His granddaughter,
hey,
great granddaughter?
I think it's
Nikki Dolenz' great granddaughter, right?
I thought it was Dozel.
Dozel?
Oh, I don't know. How do you pronounce
her last name? Rachel Kazizzle, I think.
What?
I dated a girl for a long time from Richmond who, she's not your mother, although she really could be your mother. Her name is Rachel Blackstone.
I just assumed everyone's my mother.
But she's 1/8 black, and we're going to talk about people who claim to be black but aren't. But I'm actually 1/64 black, or more precisely, 1/64 West African. From several thousand years ago, which means black, because actually race doesn't exist, which is interesting because the social justice warriors say it's that kind of thing of pick a button. It's one or the other. They say race doesn't exist. And then they say, you know, white people are all racist and black people can't be racist. But race is a weird, interesting thing because there are people that are, you know, 1/16th, let's say, black, who look black and pass for black and check black on boxes, whether they're getting money for it or not. And there are people that are 1/8 or 1/4 black that look white and probably never even knew that they had black ancestors. That's absolutely possible. And there are thousands of people in both categories in America.
Let's trigger warning. We all originated from Africa. We all have black ancestors.
Yeah. But I'm 1/64th African, which means, and that's, I have the DNA results from 23andMe for that one. And it's actually like one, it's some percentage. I forget what it is, but it's close to 64. So we rounded up or down.
You know, I was wondering why Rachel Dolezal doesn't just take one of those DNA tests, because it is possible that maybe there's a percentage.
She probably did.
She's
totally white, probably. Totally allegedly. White. I need the allegedly thing up. She's totally white.
She won't release that.
Yeah, she took the test and
allegedly
wasn't.
Well, you know what's funny? If you Google 1/64th black, which I did when I found out I was 1/64th black, the first page, like near the top of the first page of results, like one of the things is the Simpsons. There's something on the Simpsons, I think, about Lisa finding out she's 1/64th black, baby. But one of the main things is there's a Stormfront, which is a very racist white power site, a very racist site called Stormfront. Stormfront had an article. It was a post by a Stormfront member, and it said, "I just found out I'm 1/64th black. What should I do?" And the guy was like actually thinking about killing himself, and his white power brothers all talked him out of killing himself.
Wait, talked him out of it?
Yeah, no. Oh. Talked about killing himself, and you know, and they were like, you know, just celebrate the part of you that isn't.
This is fine sounding bullshumor.
It is, but one of the recurrent comments was, you know, basically like, "It's okay, little brother, but just don't breed." Just over and over and over and over, because these people, like, their heads were exploding at the thought of a 128th black child in the world. So.
Wow. Yeah.
But anyway, the reason why her name is coming up in the news again is because apparently she's doing porn. No one will hire her.
She's not doing porn. That's the problem. She won't do porn.
Well, she's also offered a reality TV show, and she's turned all that down. And she's like, "Well, I'm just going to take food stamps." And now she's saying that she's going to be homeless soon.
Beach.
It's like, it's like you've been offered jobs. You know, don't take people's tax money and take food stamps when you're being offered perfectly good jobs that probably pay better than I make. I mean, seriously.
Well, yeah, that's a very lucrative career.
You know, really, and they were making fun of her in Vibe magazine. So Vibe threw under the bus. A lot of black people threw under the bus. But, you know, I think why they're throwing her under the bus is they don't want people making stereotypes like, well, maybe she is black. She's not taking jobs and she's staying on welfare. I'm sure somebody's making that joke, but not me.
I'm not.
You're triggering me.
There you go. Thank you. So what's your point, Missy? Missy, who might be my daughter.
I'm just saying she's... God, I hope so. I'm just saying, like, she's just leeching off of society for no reason. It's like, isn't there something that says that if you turn down jobs, you can't get food stamps? I guess not, apparently.
Yeah, I've heard that, but interestingly...
Apparently, it doesn't apply.
I guess you can be picky. I don't know, though. That's kind of ironic. I mean, it's like... You know, let's say the law is you can't turn down. I think it's something like you can't turn down any reasonable job. And I think a lot of people would argue that porn is not a reasonable
job.
But
also reality TV.
Say that on radio.
I would tend to disagree that it's not a reasonable job, but.
Oh, no, there's a cat in here.
the wrong one.
I think.
Not my circus, not my.
Oh, that's not a racial comment. I'm just hitting random stuff on here, actually.
Does this app make me look fat?
not my circus, not my monkey.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's anything
that
wrong with
party,
any of the jobs she's been offered
on national television.
Yeah, you already
but
did
if she
that.
Does want to be picky, then there is still the reality TV show. So.
Are you offering her a job doing a reality porn TV show?
What?
That should be a thing.
Not me personally, but I mean, I would probably watch it
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
I will be overjoyed if Diana just wrote and said she's still backing up. She's getting ready to revert to Windows 7. I'm going to be pretty overjoyed if she comes on like the last 10 seconds of the show and says worms after getting back, you know, her computer fixed.
And then she adds in, Michael, I think you're my father.
Wrong. I would have been like 9 when I had her. But yeah.
There's still hope.
No.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't doing it with women. I wasn't doing it with women yet when I was 7.
Only
allegedly.
God, I'm not saying anything.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
That's culty. All right. So let's talk about Rachel Dolan. She's a welfare whore. All right. No, she's not a welfare whore, and that's the problem.
No, she's
Well, yeah.
Well, she's not getting on welfare. Or she is on welfare and she doesn't want to take jobs, I think is what it's going on.
She should work at Taco Bell.
It just makes me really angry because, like, she's not accepting these jobs. Well, apparently she's applied at jobs to, like, stock shelves.
You're really angry? Really? I think you're not 100%. I don't like anybody. I think you're not 100% anarchist and voluntarist. I think you're about 91. How woke are you?
Don't ever say that.
1 to 10.
I am very woke.
I don't know. Eight
more fiends and you'll be totally 100% woke.
I'm so
woke. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I don't really see anything's wrong with what she's doing, though, honestly.
I don't either. And at the end of the last segment, you said there are acceptable times to call the cops. What else did you say?
Right, you said that.
Stop
snitching,
man.
Stop snitching, V.
Well,
yeah.
We need to make we need that on the app. That needs to be the app. Stop snitching, V.
A button. That's okay. A button.
Everyone should stay armed and they should know how to use their weapon and they should use proper gun etiquette. However,
as long as it's legal and licensed.
No. But if you're ever in a situation where your life is in danger, maybe. I mean, they're not going to get there in time anyway. We know that. But, I mean, I'm just saying if you totally think that the person that you're calling the cops on deserves to die, like they're seriously a threat to you, then sure, go for it. But that's the only time that you should.
Are you saying murder by police is your plan?
If there's a situation like that, but really
stop
you should just have a gun.
V.
Yeah, stop
you
snitching,
should,
V.
You should protect yourself.
Stop snitching, V.
You should have to protect yourself.
Stop snitching.
You're going to be a 10 of 10 woke by like the end of... And by this summer,
yeah.
Fiends.
You'll stop snitching by then.
Example.
You'll stop snitching by then. We'll laugh the snitch out of you.
Look, if James is at a libertarian conference and he starts stripping, you should definitely call the police.
I would.
Stop snitching, V.
I would not. I'm kidding.
No, I would call the fire department. It's getting hot in here.
I'm not going to call this episode Stop Snitching, V. But Stop Snitching, V. So, I don't really know what your point is. You kind of sound like Bill O'Reilly. You're going like, and this welfare recipient who used to pretend to be black and now she's white is on welfare and they're turning down
porn. I don't want anybody on welfare. They shouldn't be using the state to hold their hand. I mean,
but really, if you really examine it, though, V, if you really examine about her living, she's taking food stamps, all right? But for the first 39 years of her life, she was making money. She had a job with the NAACP and all that, and she was paying at the university and all kinds of different stuff, and she was paying taxes on it. If anything, this is just individual
reparations.
You know, reparations is what it is. She's taking her tax money back.
Not black people reparations.
I don't know, James. You don't sound very woke right now.
No, I think that's woke.
Sounds hella woke.
Woke. I think that's really woke. I mean, if someone steals from you, you have every right to take something back. And taxation
is
theft.
I'm sure the alt writers that live in their basement would think that James is wrong, but
they would. They're screaming at their radio right now. They're screaming so loud. They're like, oh my God, this James. I can't find an app. They're yelling at the radio right now.
Take off his clothes. on TV. He's a leftist. That's what they're saying.
To Freedom now. Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
On the show notes. Topics include, is MWD V's dad? It's possible, if not likely. And stop snitching, V.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. Hashtag. That's the hashtag.
That's it. Hashtag.
All right, I'll drop that for now, but eventually I'll make my point.
I don't think your point is to be made. I think eventually you're going to go, what was I thinking, man? That was crazy talk. That was my cousin crazy talk.
Anyway,
yeah, he thought the original vision was a little thin.
So there's this website.
Post a comment if you get that. I'm saying, who got what I just said? It was a reference to a pop culture thing. I said, that's my cousin crazy talk. He thought the original vision was a little thin. So if you know what that is, post a comment. All right.
I'm probably too young for that.
Yeah, you're too young for The Simpsons.
Oh. Well, no, wait. I guess The Simpsons started in the 80s, right?
Yeah, they started before.
They probably only started like a couple of years before I was born.
Yeah, but they still replay them all the time. Yeah. So, you see, you want to talk about something racist? Go ahead, V.
It's not racist, okay?
She wants to say something racist.
No. There's this movement that
started.
Well,
it's okay, because she's 128th
I'm
black.
I'm half Pleiadian. I'm half Pleiadian. I'm above that. I have surpassed race, okay? Anyway, so there's this
Your
website.
Mom liked music.
She really likes music.
That's going to become a cuss. Your mom likes music. That's going to mean you slept with punk rockers in the
80s. It's code for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put that in the show notes. V's mom liked music.
Wink. Wink, wink. You hashtag put a wink, sausage. You
hashtag sausage poo. What?
What?
What majovies emojis you want me to use? You kids and your majovies.
Do the table flip one. That's my favorite.
Is that better than a mic drop?
Well, you can do that. I don't know.
So no more black targets is, what is it?
It's
a bunch of idiots with a website.
So it's nomoreblacktargets.com. And apparently the argument is that there have been studies done that people are more trigger happy and more likely to shoot targets that have the black silhouette on them, you know? My argument is that it's just a darker color on a lighter background. It's easier to see. So obviously, I feel like I aim better with them.
It's basically what a white person is going to like look like in your apartment breaking in the middle of the night is a black silhouette.
Yeah, it's a silhouette. It's a shadow. Like, it's not. But there's this whole movement, and there's literally a website for it, and they're seriously saying that it's racist, and they're like decorate. It's kind of cool though if you go to the website, because if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, at least on your phone anyway, this is how it works. You can make different designs on the targets.
Yeah. Are these people drawing on the targets actual gun users or not?
I'm not sure. I'm willing to think that they aren't.
Are these targets actually for target practice, or are these now art pieces that they're turning them into?
They're art pieces.
Probably art pieces.
It looks like they're providing. It looks like they're providing a printable like target with the rings, but there's no black in it except defining the rings. They would normally be on a silhouette target to be in white. It's basically a photo negative. It's a photo negative of a black target. They're inviting people to write stuff on. You know, the socialist statements, and they have a downloadable PDF so you can make your own. And they have an, you know, there's no point to this. This isn't really something that's needed. There is racism in the world. This has nothing to do with it. Did you know, though, this is not without precedent, though.
I can actually understand the point, though, because if they're training on a black target, you know, the people are training on a black target, there is a psychological thing. It's the same, you know, where it's...
Stop snitching, James.
I'm not. This is not snitching. No,
stop being a left libertarian, James. So,
no, I'm just saying. I see the point.
Before you crudely interrupted me. Well, actually, you know, I would be willing to train with a variety of targets. I think that'd be more useful than just a black target. I would use a black on white. I'd use a white on black. I'd use a circle.
I like to shoot pictures of Che Guevara.
You know, people have actually been thrown out of gun ranges for shooting. You can buy targets that have Osama bin Laden on them.
Oh, yeah.
Even before he was dead. And that was a popular one that actually sold a lot. People use zombie targets. Now, here's an interesting thing, though.
Zombie targets would be sweet.
Yeah, they still have those.
I don't like the whole zombie thing because, like, you can actually buy zombie ammo. It's called zombie ammo. A few years ago, there was a big movement of zombie, like gun training, pretending you're shooting zombies because zombies were all lots of TV shows and lots of movies. And
I hate
it was
zombies.
A social movement.
Me too.
Here's the thing. Zombies are just code for humans. Mm-hmm. Like in the same way they say these, like basically zombie targets are people who aren't comfortable with the idea of that they may actually have to shoot a living human. I think you should shoot. I would prefer to practice with like
children,
you know, children.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. James is loud. James is writing the great American novel, one ad break at a time. That loud keyboard. I type fast. I type 120 a minute, but James is better. He types harder. He doesn't type as many words.
What do you mean it wasn't good? I typed it really hard.
He types quality, not quantity.
So much effort.
Manly typing. So... we went to Taco Bell today. I've never had this happen. It's pretty funny. We got an order. He says, "Welcome to Taco Bell. You know, how are you today?" And we said, "We're great. How are you?" And he said, "I'm living the dream." This actually happened.
Oh, my God.
And I posted this on Facebook, and Virgil Viduva said, "That means you can buy weed from him."
Oh my God.
That's the code.
Well, here's what I always say.
Someone got busted recently, I think, didn't they? For they're selling weed at the drive-thru.
Extra crispy fries.
Was that the code?
It wasn't Taco Bell. It was some other fast food restaurant. But yeah, if you say extra crispy fries, then they gave you that. Yeah.
You should try to. People should try that at all fast food restaurants.
I remember there was one where at KFC, if you ordered extra biscuits.
Mm.
And they didn't figure it out until some large gentleman went through and actually wanted extra biscuits.
Oh, man.
He was like, "What is this?"
Did he snitch?
Yeah, he pulled a V.
Stop snitching, large dude. Was he black?
I didn't say in the article I read. This was years ago.
You're not allowed to inquire that in your memes. It's against the law.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't because... I think white people are the ones who like snitching more. Oh, I'm racist. Uh-oh. The left's the alt-right's calling me a cuck now.
No, that's only
white people. White people love snitching so much they create Yelp.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Did you make that up? That's good.
No.
No, I didn't. He knows I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
Who made that up? Yeah.
No.
Who made it
I
up?
I mean, I'll claim it. No, I saw it on the internets.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was on the webs. It was on the webs.
Really funny.
It's true.
I would say white and black people snitch equal amounts per capita, but there are more white people, so white people snitch more. There, I solved it with racial unity.
Yeah.
No,
all a bunch
man.
Of horrible fiends snitching.
See, whenever I go and order fast food and they ask if I want anything else, I always say, "And could I also get a sense of purpose?" And most of the time they don't get it, but one time the cashier was like, "Yeah, me too."
Is that code for drugs?
Probably.
There's probably a bunch of different codes out there that people use. I know I used to use codes when I was younger.
I had to put Diana on because she's not on the show. But, you know, union rules are that her voice has to be on the show because she was scheduled. So we played her. All right. So do you guys want to talk about, oh, you know what? I'm going to put you guys in the back seat for a minute because you're being such bratty kids. We're you bad. Didn't let me say what I was going to say. And you went to the break saying you wanted to shoot children. It was part of a longer thing. We're not going to repeat it. It got weird, but that's not what she said. That was out of context. And I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just saying, yeah. So V does not want to shoot children. She does want to snitch, though. So no, keep your children away from her doing nonviolent crimes. Yep. Mm. So I was going to say that the black target, no more black targets. The idea of people being nanny about what piece of paper you shoot at is not without precedent. Did you guys know that official NRA functions are not allowed to use humanoid targets? They have to be like circles or ducks or something.
Those ones are hard to shoot, though.
What, circles and ducks?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's the point. Well...
No, okay. The point is the NRA like bows to pressure, and people who are not gun owners get flipped out at people shooting at human shaped targets because they think it means gun owners want to kill people. Where what it actually means is gun owners want to be prepared to stop someone trying to aggress on them in a horrible way. And you don't really get great at that by shooting something shaped like a duck. You know what you actually get good at shooting? Actually, at sniping, a lot of snipers like to practice with prairie dogs because from a distance, their silhouette is about like a human. And if you can, you know, when they stand up, because they stand up and they're also extraordinarily common and farmers don't care if you shoot them. So a lot of times...
I don't know what that is.
People want to practice sniping will go to a farmer and say, hey, can I go shoot your prairie dogs? And they're like, fine, man. I'll bring you out a sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
And people just... I mean, you can sit like... Yeah, like, you know... Cool.
So that's how you get sandwiches. Field.
Yeah, yeah. Prairie dogs will destroy a crop or a field. To the point where, like, there's so many of them that you can go put up a chair and sit there from noon till dusk shooting prairie dogs, and they're really stupid, too. Like, they don't run away when they hear loud noises. So people just shoot prairie dogs all day, and it's practice for shooting men at a distance if they need to. We don't recommend shooting people at a distance. Shoot them close up. No. So... You mentioned before, like, well, you'd call the police if you had to shoot somebody in self-defense. And I'm like, would you really?
No, not if... Stop snitching. Because they wouldn't get there in time. No, you should... If you're defending yourself, you should shoot them. But I'm saying if it's a situation where... Let's say that you're in a situation where you absolutely don't have a gun and there's a hostile situation, you know. I mean, it could happen. It's probably not going to, but...
Cops will show up and shoot you.
Hmm. Yeah, they probably still will, honestly. Or your dog.
Yeah. So. Yeah, wait, where's this situation where you don't have a gun? I don't...
Because you're a convicted felon.
These words don't compute.
You're a convicted felon, and...
Why wouldn't you have a gun?
Also, if you're a convicted felon, you can have a bolt thrower in a lot of places. Actually, convicted felons in a lot of places can have, like, an pre-1895 rifle, because it's not legally considered a gun. This is not... legal advice, you know, consult with your local, you know,
it probably varies from state to state.
People that tell you what to do probably varies from county to county too. Mm-hmm. But, like for instance, you could do things with a working pre-1895 rifle gun that you can't do with modern things. Like, I think you can send them through the mail. I'm not sure. Consult an attorney. Or someone that pretends to be one.
Yeah, there's different regulations for the black powder stuff, basically. Even just regular black powder stuff, there's different regulations for.
But I want to recommend a book called Hardcore Self-Defense that totally changed my mind on a lot of things. And it's like, it's basically written by somebody, I don't know anything about the person. He uses a fake name. You can get it on Amazon. It'll probably get you on a list. One of the things in it is like a chapter on using anything as a weapon. And like the mindset for self-defense. And one of the things he says is that it's not uncommon for someone shot in the shoulder with a 22 who doesn't have a self-defense mindset to die, where sometimes people can be shot, you know, in the chest cavity in a more vulnerable, you know, a more sensitive area with a much larger caliber gun and live because they have the will to fight.
Yeah, you know,
some people get shot and just lie down and die because they think that's what's supposed to happen. But another thing he says,
he also talks in this
book about using your environment as a weapon. Like, you know, even if you don't have a weapon, if you run out of bullets, whatever, like you fight to the death no matter what, including like using anything in the room, any hard surface, the curb, the ground, a fire hydrant, your belt,
a spoon,
a rock, a spoon. Yeah, anything. And another thing he says,
those little caps that go over your IO ports on your computer.
Yeah, excellent. Absolutely. So he says something in this book that's really controversial that I'm not going to say I agree with. I'm just going to put the thought out there. He says, basically, if someone ever breaks in your home, you know, and you shoot them and you call the police, first of all, they're probably going to put you in jail. You probably get out on bail. You'll have to put up your house. You're going to spend the next several years probably fighting in court. You may end up not in prison, but you might. And even if it was completely ethical self-defense and something that might be legal in another state or with a different jury might be justified. He actually suggests the idea of, like, you know, if you ever shoot anybody in your home, don't pick up the phone. Sit down, make a cup of tea. Calm down, have a cup of tea, sit at your table. You know, first of all, make sure the person's absolutely dead. Disarm them, kick the gun away, even if they look totally dead. You know, handcuff them with something, tie their arms behind their back, even if they look absolutely dead, because a lot of times people aren't, and they get up and kill people because people think they're dead. But the thing that was really freaky, he basically talked about getting this book from Paladin Press about the grisly business of disposing of bodies. And I'm not recommending this, but also His basic thing was
for
like
entertainment purposes only.
Thank right? you. Was so like his idea was extending self-defense to the point of like self-defense against a legal system stacked against you. You know, like think about when a cop shoots somebody, it's completely different. They're cops come to them and say, "Don't talk to anyone. We're bringing an attorney to you." And they don't make them take a statement right away. They do it the next day. They let them go home. You know, they provide them with great defense. People side with them on juries. All sorts of things that cops have that you don't have. So basically, he suggested the idea of the possibility of, you know, sit down, have a cup of tea, and wait and see if you hear sirens. You know, wait 10 minutes, wait 20 minutes. It would look legally wonky if someone was definitely dead. It would look legally wonky if you ended up in jail and you didn't call them right away, but it wouldn't be inescapable in a jury. And he basically said, like, you know, they're not going to, you know, if it's some scumbag crackhead or, you know, speed freak breaking in your house, they're not going to do the forensics they do on TV to find out like the exact moment of death and things like that. So if there's 5 or 10 minutes left, you could, you know, he's saying in this book, Hardcore Defense, you can probably sit there, have a cup of tea.
For entertainment purposes only.
Have your heart calm down and then really think about whether or not you want to go through all that and what your options are. Now, a problem with that plan, other than it's absolutely immoral and illegal and no one should ever do it, a problem with that plan.
Don't try this at home.
Is what if someone else knew the person was going to be there? You know, what if. You know, what if it was like some junkie couple and the guy said, "I'm going to go get us money for dope, baby. I'm going to rob that house we passed the other day. The one that you said looked like it had, you know, nice curtains. I'll steal you those curtains and any money they have." So, you know, there might actually be someone who calls the cops and says, you know, "My husband was going to break into that house and he never came home." But who knows, man? So I just want to consider the possibility in a kind of video game kind of concept of that's a possibility expressed in a book.
Never actually do this ever.
Hardcore self-defense that you can get on Amazon through the Freedom Fiends link on freedomfiends.com.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
In the show notes, the amazing book Hardcore Self-Defense. Now, it's by a pseudonymous writer named C.R. John, J-A-H-N, which is funny because this book's old, but isn't John like a noun for thing now? Like, oh, pass me that John. Isn't it?
No, never heard that before.
It's a Philly
thing. Slide. Referred to the John as the John.
Yeah, the head.
You can't say that on radio. All right, so I'm going to put the books, the Hardcore Self-Defense, in the show notes. So, V, what were you saying? You're saying some kind of, like, cool stuff to us during the break about how this whole episode has been, you didn't use the word educational, but it was something like that. What'd you say?
Well, I was saying that it feels like we're walking the line, like, with what you can get away with saying on radio. It's been...
Oh. Yeah.
It's been very interesting.
Well, you know, I am your dad, and I kind of abandoned you for, you know, 21-something years. I feel like I have a lot of making up to do. You know,
owe me money for every birthday that you've missed.
I don't owe you money. I'm going to make up for it in anarchy. I'm going to pay you in anarchy and teach you to walk the correct line like a real
pay
anarchist.
Me in Bitcoin.
Not like I already paid you in Bitcoin. stop being like every other kid in the world and asking for money, even if you're joking. But yeah, socialist. Stop being a socialist snitch, V. You think we owe you stuff and you want to tell on people. Oh, you snitched on James during the break. You thought he cussed, but he didn't.
He said it to me.
You pointed it out to me. He didn't cuss. You just so want to snitch. Seriously, we want to...
Hardcore snitching over here.
Hardcore snitching by M.W. John Dean. Yeah, but
yeah, break that out of you there.
We decided we're gonna try to stop snitching because we don't want to diffuse that phrase to where it's only a joke. So we want us to still mean something.
Yeah.
So stop snitching.
Yeah. If you stop snitching, we won't have to use it so much.
I'm done.
So you have a friend that didn't read Hardcore Self-Defense, which I am putting in the show notes. You have a friend that didn't read it, and what happened to him?
Oh, well, yeah, my cousin, he worked at a bar, and he ended up having to kill someone in self-defense, and he was arrested for it.
Man, no good.
It wasn't at the bar. He worked at the bar, and someone picked him up at the bar and took him back to his place and then pulled out a gun and said, you know, we're going to the ATM, empty your pockets. We're going to the ATM. We're going to empty your bank account, all this stuff. Talking about how he's killed people and all this kind of stuff. And my cousin had never touched a gun in his life, right? He was never a gun person. You know, his favorite toy was a Catwoman thing. You know, so this is like, he never trained for this. Never trained for this ever or even thought about this kind of situation. He's a year older than me. And so he gets to the ATM, and you know, fight or flight kicks in on my cousin, and he ends up being able to wrestle away the gun from the guy and ends up shooting him and killing him, right? He calls the police, hysterical. This is all on the ATM camera, which is probably really good that this whole thing was on the ATM camera, the whole situation where he actually, once he got a hold of the gun. But he ended up getting arrested and charged for this, which is clearly self-defense. They had video evidence of it being self-defense.
Cops love to charge you.
But that's the funny thing, is it actually wasn't the cops who charged him. The cops let him go. Because it was clearly self-defense. But then the prosecutor decided to charge him anyway.
Election year?
No, I don't even think it was. I don't know. I don't know if it was an election time or not when it was going on. I don't know that. But he ended up having to go through court, costing the family a ton of money and lawyers and stuff like, because now we're, you know, it's fighting a murder trial.
Yeah.
You know, but luckily the jury didn't convict.
Wow.
But the thing is that, you know, that it's a lot of money for self-defense.
Yeah.
Self-defense is expensive.
There is self-defense insurance, too.
Hmm. Yeah, but if you buy that, that could be considered premeditation.
Yeah, so that could be.
The book Hardcore Self-Defense, the Kindle version is $3.99. The paperback is $14.95. A lot cheaper than a lawyer. There's also body disposal kits on Amazon, but I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to
get put on a watch list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a honeypot.
Listen to the scenes. Fiends. It's a honeypot. Been a good show, fiends. Glad you could finally meet your biological father. You like my band Bomb. You're probably conceived to us listening to it. Because I like to make love possible. Listening to my band back in the day. Like Frank Sinatra said. I got that from Frank Sinatra.